everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc., where we talk about hypnosis, etc. Anything pertaining to hypnosis, might be hypnosis in the news, might be hypnosis techniques, answering questions, things that are going on in the world of hypnosis, such as training, events, and that kind of stuff. If you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video is additional text and links and graphics and specials and things like that that just make this podcast much more valuable. And I just want to say hello out there to everybody in the year 2050. How you doing? It's good to be here helping you out. Now, why do I say that? One of the coolest things about our topic is that it is evergreen. The stuff we talk about today is true and it's of interest today, tomorrow, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years into the future, because we're really talking about hypnosis and human nature and what people are about, how the mind works. That's really not going to change that much. Maybe in 150,000 years, but for the foreseeable future, people all around the world, and who knows, maybe as radio and television broadcast these things out into the universe, other planets. Boy, I can really get on a tirade, huh? Anyway, welcome to Hypnosis Etc. I'm here once again with Meredith Locker. Let me tell you about Meredith. Meredith is one of the true one percenters. She is a true professional. She started off with a master's degree in psychology, seeing regular clients for issues such as eating disorders and other things as well. And by somehow she was guided to the world of hypnosis. She wound up in my classroom. She became a five-pather, a one percenter. She has a thriving practice in Los Angeles, and we're so excited. She's done over 100 podcasts with me, and I'm truly honored and grateful. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing so good. I'm glad you didn't ask me how many exactly I've done, because I never keep track. Every time you ask, I have to go back and add it all up.
So. Cool. Well, no matter how many it is, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe one day you'll move off to Italy or something like that. But, you know, we can still do them then, just like I used to do with Celeste out there from Texas.
Exactly. Well, I want to make sure you guys know who Cal is. Cal is not only the best of the profession, but he trains the best of the profession. He has really taken hypnosis, the best of hypnosis, some of the best of psychology. He was, after all, a talk therapist before he got into being one of the best hypnotists in the profession. And he created a system called Five Path. And you know, he also is the reason we do these free training videos week in and week out. He brought us Seventh Path Self-Hypnosis. He's written several books, so many articles, and he really is passionate about taking hypnosis to the next level and really establishing it as the profession that it deserves to be. Thank you so much, Cal, for all you do.
Oh, thank you for that praise. Hey, so let me just get a couple of little bit of news in here, and then we'll get into our topic for today. First, tell them, what's the topic today?
So we're going to get into some information about working with high-profile clients today. How fun is that?
Oh, gosh. All right. Yeah, I think that's going to be a great topic. Hopefully we can squeeze it into just one video. All right. So the Banyan NGH-approved certification super course. It's coming up January 27th. It's the first day of class. Be there. If you can't be there, then be in our July 14th class. Become a one percenter, become the best of the best. If it's a 10-day course, it's over 100 hours in those 10 days. You're gonna eat, sleep, and poop hypnosis. It's really the best way to go. That's how Meredith got started, that's how Celeste got started, that's how L. Ron got started. We also have people who are trained by other hypnotherapists and they wanna move over to becoming one of the Banyanishis, and really have the kind of, you see, one of the things, in addition to just getting our certification, you get our ongoing support, which is unsurpassed. We have online groups, we have additional materials that you can get, we have marketing that we can do for you, a whole bunch of stuff really to help you make the transition from class to clients. Let's see. Oh, also, we've got the Solid Gold Weekend coming up, the National Guild Hypnotist Solid Gold Weekend. It's February 15th to 16th in Las Vegas at the Riviera Hotel Casino. If you want more information about that, which you should if you don't know everything already, then you should go to ngh.net. They got all the latest information as it comes out there. And please visit us on facebook.com/hypnosis etc or etc. Hypnosis etc, just like that. And you know what? You'll be able to get in on the conversation. And I post things there like hypnosis in the news. We talk about different questions that are coming up and all just kinds of things. Just be part of the conversation. All right. Let's jump in.
Beautiful. So this was a topic that kind of came up. We've got there's all these wonderful Yahoo groups that you can join and, you know, have community with all kinds of different people with different interests. And we have a five and seventh path group. And this topic came up. A couple of our members have had experience working with high profile clients. And I thought it'd be fun to bring this to all of the rest of you and talk about some of the issues involved with doing that and, you know, share some information about our experiences. And as always, we would love your feedback. And if you have any other questions about any podcast, this one or any other one we've ever done or anyone you'd like us to do, please do submit that information to us. You can do it here on calbanion.com right down there in the feedback box. You can go to our hypnospace.com in the Ask Cal group. You can email it to me directly, meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. If you haven't liked us already on Facebook, there is the Hypnosis Etc. Facebook page. You can post it there. There's so many ways to connect with us, so please do. But this particular topic, of course, working in LA, is something that I have experience with. And Cal, you know, even though he's in Orange County, there's actually lots of high profile people that either live near or around Orange County, and him being one of the best in the profession, of course, he's had experience working with high profile people. So Cal, do you have any first thoughts, or do you want me to jump into some thoughts about this?
You know, well, just before we started this video, I wrote down some ideas that I thought we would cover, and you can always add. But I want to start off, you know, you know me, I'm so methodical. I'm so, you know, doing step eight and step two, step three, and I try to look at it from our viewers' perspective. And I'm thinking one of the things they might be thinking right now is, how in the heck how do you get high profile clients? You want to take that?
Yeah. So in my experience, their assistants have just contacted me. And, you know, just like anyone else, when they go to find someone, if they don't have a direct referral source from someone that they know, they often will go to the web and Google and find somebody that seems to be professional and seems to know what they're doing and seems to be trained, and they'll contact you and get more information that way. And that's how it's been in my particular case. And then I've had also lots of clients that are in the business, if you will, in the entertainment business, that I've worked with initially that are on the periphery, directors, producers, even, you know, assistants, things like that. And once you've worked with some of them and they are mixing with high profile people, which one of the things we're going to talk about is that they're just regular people, then your name can kind of get passed around that way. So that's another way that they have found me. Cal, what about in your case?
Yeah, and so these high profile people, at the very core of their nature, they're people. And you know, they use Google, and so really they'll do, it used to be Yellow Pages, but now it's Google, Bing, Yahoo search engines, and then also referrals. And just like everybody else, they got friends and family. And you know, you might be working with a client, and little did you know that they are the nephew, niece, aunt, little brother of ex-husband, ex-wife of someone who is a celebrity of some sort or high-profile person. And so then, as we're talking about that, we'll segue into the next topic, which is, you know, when we start talking about high-profile people, celebrities, you immediately begin to think about actors, TV, and movie actors. And certainly those people do fall into this category, but also sports figures, such as, you know, football players, Major League Baseball, soccer players, race car drivers, Olympians, figures, and then also important people in business, people who run million-dollar companies, mega companies, and also government people, figures such as senators, congressmen, you know, these kinds of people, and also, lastly, their family, and also, even high-profile people in the military, generals, which are, and high-profile people in the military, by the way, are kind of are not easy to work with. They on one hand, they're very kind of conflicted. On one hand, they want the hypnosis to help, but on the other hand, they've probably, if they have a secret clearance or something, they may have signed a document that they wouldn't be hypnotized. So that could be a topic all to itself. But please, take it from there, Meredith.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, really, a high-profile person is anybody who, you know, is recognizable potentially, is well-paid for what they do. I mean, I even consider the CEOs that I work with, you know, heads of corporations, to be a high-profile person. So really anybody who is, you know, kind of has a lot of people that look up to them, is recognizable. They have, you know, even doctors to some extent could be considered a high profile person. And so, of course, why do we even talk about this? You know, because the truth is they are regular people, but because they're actually not, in the sense that they are recognizable, the people do know them, they may have certain expectations, they may be used to getting certain treatment, they may have certain requirements that they set up for you, and so in that sense they are a little different than the average person. But I want to really make an emphatic point that they're just regular people. So they just happen to have gotten well known for whatever it is that they do, but they still have the same emotional makeup, they still have fears, they still have things that need to be resolved, you know, definitely still insecurities, and so, you know, just like you and I, they have things that they would like to improve about themselves and things that they'd like to overcome. And in that sense, they're just regular people. Anything you want to say about that, Cal?
Yeah, you know, I'm constantly seeing on the video, see me constantly writing. By the way, you know, I'm in Orange County, Meredith is in LA, and you might be, I don't know, somewhere in not such a big city. Or not East Coast, not West Coast, somewhere in Illinois, or you might be in Minnesota, something like that. Guess what? Some of the first high-profile people I ever saw was in Minnesota. And so just because you're not in LA doesn't mean that these people won't come to you. All you have to do is be, this is how you get these people, doing good work. Doing good work. And, you know, they hear about you through their mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, lover, whatever, and they want to have good results, and they come to you. So don't just kind of line yourself out and say, oh, this doesn't apply to me because I don't live in Hollywood or New York. It does not matter. You could be in Plano, Texas. You could be in Mexico, South America, the Middle East, whatever. These high-profile people will, if you're doing good work, especially if you're full-time in the profession, seeing a lot of clients, the word gets out and you become a person magnet, and some of those people will be high-profile people. Please continue.
Yeah, so really a lot of people who are in the public eye, when they have money, they will have a home somewhere else, and they're going to go somewhere where there's less paparazzi, less people who will bother them, all of that kind of thing. And so, like in LA, the majority of high-profile people do have a home somewhere else that might be not your typical area. So I agree completely that, and that might be the place where they go to relax. So they may be in Texas relaxing at their second home, And they want to do some work on themselves or overcome an issue that they're having. So absolutely, this can be for anyone. But then we get into, and I don't know if this is next on your list, Cal, but next on mine is, you know, do we accommodate the special requests that they have for us? Because it's, you know, possible that they'll have special requests. Now, I have had both things happen. I've had high-profile people who do not act any differently. They don't want any special treatment. They don't expect it. They don't ask for it. There's absolutely nothing different at all. And then there are those, typically more the actors, in my experience, that will ask for certain special accommodations. So do you accommodate them specially? That's the big question. And I want to point out that you have to decide what's best for you in your practice. Generally speaking, I will make certain accommodations. I'll go to a certain point, and it kind of depends on what they're asking for. So if they're asking for a time when it's unlikely that no one else will be in my center, like a Sunday night appointment, I probably will accommodate that if it works out in my schedule at the time. But if they're asking me to do something in the middle of the night, that doesn't work for me. I'm definitely going to say no to that. If they're asking me to come to their home, I'm going to go on a case-by-case basis, but most of the time, partly to set the boundary with them that I am in charge, and also to bring them into my territory so that I can be in charge, I'm going to say no to that as well. And I am going to have them come to my office just like a regular person. And if they need special accommodations to be able to get in without other people noticing, then I'll probably accommodate that, like having them come in the exit door, which would be a little bit unusual. I would be willing to do that sort of thing just so that people in the waiting room, since I work out of a wellness center, wouldn't mix with them. Cal, anything you want to add here?
Yeah, that's about where I am in my list. And so one of the things is, When you're working with these high-profile people, anonymity, confidentiality is more important than ever before. You don't want to be the hypnotist that winds up on the news as having their client, you know, you spilling the beans on a client, because first of all, that's wrong. Second, it messes up your place in the profession. You become someone that doesn't know how to keep confidentiality. So it's vitally important, especially with these profile people, to ensure confidentiality. Now, you might have them come in on a weekend, like Meredith was talking about, or I may clear the session before and the session after their session, and so that I don't have any clients during that time. Now, I will then charge them accordingly. Let's say you're paying $200 a session, you're planning on do a double session with them, and you want to clear the session above, before their appointment, the session after. So then now it becomes like a 4-session rate, because you have to keep the area clear for them. And most of the high profile people that we're talking about will not blink at paying double your rate. So, you know, because so then a double session becomes the equivalent of 4 sessions. So I just let them, you know, which brings me to another thing, and that is when it comes to how much to charge these people, you have, when they want special accommodations, like going to their home or going to their office or at a certain meeting place, or having to maybe have your center, you know, 4 hours shut off to having no clients before and after their sessions, then you need to charge them accordingly, such that it doesn't have to be outrageous, but it should be something that is ethical, but then that you are happy to to do that accommodation. So for me, if I was charging $200 a session, which I don't, I charge $375, but just to keep the math simple, you know, that if it was $200 a session, I was doing a double session with them, that's $400 plus the $200 for the session before and $200 for the session after. So it'd be like a doubling of the rate, which would be 4 times 2, which would be $800 a session. If you have to make any further accommodations for them, then charge for whatever that extra accommodation is to the degree that you are happy to do it. You don't want to feel like, oh God, this person's a pain, I have to do all this stuff. You want to be in the situation where you are happy to make those accommodations and you should charge accordingly. How's that, Meredith?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you should always, you know, collect for your time given. And there should never ever be kind of a where you are giving up on something to accommodate them. There should be, because you don't want to feel resentful. And if you give up income you would normally have to work with them just because they're high profile, at some point you're probably going to become resentful. And it's just unfair. There's an out of balance kind of thing happening there. And they can certainly, and will certainly, handle it accordingly if you set the amount and how it's going to work. And some of my clients, some of my, especially the actors or the performers, they have asked for some sort of accommodation to be able to get in touch with me and to do some work either over the phone or via Skype when they travel. And some can be very insecure and can kind of require a lot of checking in time, and that time should be charged as well, even if it's a portion of a session, because they have a question that they want answered right then and they don't want to wait until their next scheduled session. I will charge them at a prorated rate for any time that I spend with them on the phone or via Skype, connecting with them and answering their questions as well.
Perfect. Now I'd like to segue on to the next most important thing.
Yeah.
And because we're going to run out of time. And that is, no special accommodations that I can think of or have ever done once the session has begun. Sometimes what I've discovered is with working with other hypnotherapists, supervising them, they get someone special in their chair and they'll do anything they can to accommodate them during the session, going easy on them, letting the special person kind of run the session. If you start doing something other than what you normally do that normally gets success, then you're really doing this individual a disfavor. You know, you still need to be in charge of the session. And when I was talking about generals, this is where it can be kind of like they want to just CEOs, generals, producers, directors, these people, they're used to being in charge. And you need to say, look, you know, where in your line of work you're in charge because you're the expert and you're the person who knows what needs to be done. In this room, I'm the expert, and you got to let me do what I do if you're going to get the results that, you know, you expect to get. So you still need to be in charge. Do not vary. Maybe Meredith's got some special exceptions from her experience, but once they're in that chair, they're just like everybody else. Or once they actually get into my hypnosis office, they're just like everybody else. They go through exactly the same process, which for me is 5-path and 7-path. You want to add to that?
Yeah, I agree completely. I change nothing when it comes to them getting into my office. I do the work exactly the same way. As far as I'm concerned, they are just a human being who has regular everyday problems like all of my clients, and I have a process that works. Why in the world would I discount their process by altering it because they have some sort of celebrity? And they really appreciate that, and it's one reason why my high profile clients have continued to refer people to me and have continued to come back to me, because I treat them as a regular person. They want someone who is going to treat them like anyone else in that situation. And some of them have acted like they didn't, but at the end of it all, they really valued the fact that I didn't pander or cater to them or baby them or be a yes person for them. I was willing to set boundaries where needed. I was willing to step up, you know, and say, this is where I'm in charge. I know you're used to being able to tell people what to do in your real life, but not in this office. And they very much respect me for that. So hopefully you can do that with your high profile clients. If you can't, you may want to think about whether to take them on at all. If you're going to be too starstruck to handle it, you may be doing them a disservice. I think we need to wrap it up, Cal.
I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. I hope this has been helpful, and I hope just by focusing on it, it draws to you some wonderfully fun, high-profile clients to work with. And I am really looking forward to connecting with you all in the future. Please send your questions, your feedback, your comments, all of that. We look forward to hearing from you. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Hey, thank you, Meredith. We'll see you in about a month or so. Hopefully I'll be back for the next bunch. Next will be Brenda, which is going to be fun as always. And hey, if you haven't been checking out our weekly specials up at the top of the screen, check them out. We always have some good deal going on for you. And go to facebook.com/hypnosisetc to be in on the conversation. That's it. Keep sending in your questions, topic ideas. Gosh. You know, I can't believe we've done 350 plus of these things, and they're just going to keep going. We're going to do at least 500, and then they're just going to live out on the internet forever. All right, Cal Banyan, take care, signing off.
This recording is a property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.